We brought this up last night. Traver said in his second speech tonight, Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But we pointed out last night, the walls of Jericho fell by grace, Galatians 6:2. By faith, Hebrews 11:30, not of works. The walls of Jericho fell by grace through faith, not of works. But Traver knows that doesn't mean they didn't have to do anything. So we're talking about salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. That doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. Turn to John 6. John 6:27 through 29. Traver said, faith is not a work, belief is not a work. But Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth an everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. We're to labor, work. Jesus is imploring them to do work. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do you want us to do? He said, do this. Don't labor for meat and food. Labor for the Lord. Well, how do we do that? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him. Yes, so faith is a work. Belief is a work. Now, when it says belief is a work of God, it's not saying a work that God does. It's saying a work that we do. That's what Jesus said. This is the work of God that ye believe on him. Yes, this is the work that we do, but it's the work of God. Like we say, John does the work of the preacher. Or how about this? Carol does the work of the house. It doesn't mean the house does the work. It means the work that Carol does relates to the house. This faith is a work of God. Belief is a work. It's a work of God in the sense that God expects us to do it. And then I believe I got 169, Jonathan. Is that next? 169. I won't be able to go through all of these, but you mentioned this. Let's go through a few of these. Traver says, baptism does not actually forgive sins. Only Christ's atoning work on the cross literally forgives sins. Well, how would that work if we said this, Traver? Faith does not actually forgive sins. Only Christ's atoning work on the cross literally forgives sins. That's the same thing as what you said, just substituted faith for baptism. You do not need to be baptized to be forgiven. You just have to trust in Jesus. Well, the Hartshell Baptist, remember the Hartshell Baptist is a five-point Calvinism. A Calvinist who believes that the elect are going to be saved even if they don't believe. So this chart is, what if Traver were to debate a Hartshell Baptist? The Hartshell Baptist would say, you do not need to trust in Jesus to be forgiven, Traver. Only Christ's atoning work on the cross literally forgives sins. At the bottom, I'm skipping a few. Traver says baptism does not forgive their sins. Their Savior's death does that. The Hartshell Baptist, Traver, would say faith does not forgive their sins. Next chart, Jonathan. Their Savior's death does that. And then here's what he said that made me think of this chart. He said it in his last speech. I'm at the bottom. Traver said that Mr. Thrasher, and he said that just about 5 minutes ago. I implore Mr. Thrasher to abandon his own works as justifying him. When you face God in judgment, do not present your own righteous resume. Only plead the merits of Jesus Christ. Here's what the Hartshell Baptist would say to you, Traver. I implore Mr. Gimmich to abandon his faith as justifying him. When you face God in judgment, do not present your own religious resume that you have faith. Don't do that. I implore you, I plead with you. Just in the merits of Jesus Christ is all you need. According to the Hartshell Baptist, the elect will be saved without belief. That's his point. And then let's go to 179. Everybody turn to James 2. I think this is very important. Now, I've been bringing up James 2, and you can see why. Last night, tonight, he finally gets around to responding to it. I appreciate that. Because he's teaching you're saved by faith only, when this verse in James 2:24 says you're justified by works and not by faith only. Here's what he said, basically. He just said it. This is a good quote from the book. Paul is speaking of forensic or legal justification, page 34 in the book. We know James is using justification in the non-forensic sense, evidentiary or vindicated, page 20, because he says Abraham wasn't justified until he offered Isaac. Okay, James 2:21. But Paul already taught that Abraham was forensically justified years prior when he believed God's promises. Page 82. Now here's Traver's argument. James says Abraham was justified by his works in verse 21 when he offered Isaac. But that has to be just proving that you're saved to others because he was already justified in Genesis 15. Remember, the offering of Isaac was Genesis 22. Did I get your argument right? That's it, didn't you, Traver? But guess what? Abraham was justified forensically, legally, long before Genesis 15. Have you ever thought of that? He's justified legally long before Genesis 15. Let's look at this. Hebrews 11, 8-9. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. His faith obeyed when he left Ur and went, as he was told. He went out knowing whether he went. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. This shows Abraham was justified legally, that's his term, in Genesis 12, 1-6. When he had a faith in God which led to obedience. You yourself said obedience is descriptive of believers. This says Abraham by faith obeyed. So according to you, Abraham was justified legally, forensically. Genesis 12, 1-6. I agree. Long before Genesis 15:6. Now he's shaking his head, yes. The Traver, that would mean that Genesis 15:6 is talking about vindication or evidentiary. Yes, certainly would. That was your argument. You said yes a while ago. How did he know James 2:21 was talking about just justified in the eyes of men? Because he was already justified legally in Genesis 15. And now I'm showing he was already justified legally in Genesis 12. So according to your logic, that means, he said, you can't be justified over and over again. That's another Traver's law. That means Genesis 15 means he was justified just in the eyes of men. Because he'd already been justified legally in Genesis 12. Notice in Genesis 13:4. By the way, love you, Trey. This is supposed to be funny. Genesis 13:13 also comes before Genesis 15. 13 before 15. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham was worshiping God, calling on the name of the Lord, justified legally in Genesis. Jonathan, next chart, in Genesis 13. And then in Genesis 14, let's read that. Melchizedek, king of Salem, was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And Abraham said to the king, "I have lift up mine hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." And Traver says Abraham had never been justified until Genesis 15, verse 6. And he has this interaction with Melchizedek. So according to Traver's logic, since Abraham was legally saved, justified before Genesis 15, that must prove Abraham's justification in Genesis 15, 6, and therefore also Romans 4, because that refers back to Genesis 15, was only shown right to man justification, what he calls evidentiary, or vindicated. Since he had declared right by God justification in Genesis 12, 13, and 14. Traitor, you've heard the old debater's expression, what proves too much proves nothing. That's what you've just done. So if Abraham was only justified in the proof to men, if he was only justified in the sense of proof to men, in James 2:21, when he says he offered Isaac, who was he proving it to, traitor? If it says he was justified by works when he offered Isaac, and that's only talking about proving that he was already justified to men, who was he proving it to? Only Isaac was there. Isaac's the only one there when he offered him, because remember all the lads that were with him, that he told him to leave. Now, let's get to James, back to James 2. Here's what Traver said on page 82. James' concern, he's talking about James 2, is about the type of faith one is professing, and I agree with Traver on this. See James 2:14. If one claims faith, yet doesn't have works, then that sort of faith will not save. Traver, is that legal save or evidentiary save? 14. You said James' concern is if you have faith and not works, then that works will faith will not save, verse 14. Save which way? Legally, right? It's legally here. Justification before God. If you have faith without works, that's James' concern. That faith won't save. Traver is saying this is talking about salvation legally before God. Guess what? The rest of the chapter, 15 through 26, is given an answer to the question of verse 14. Can faith without works save? Traver thinks that's legal justification. All the rest of the chapter is given to prove the answer is no. Remember last night, verse 17, he says no. Verse 20, he says no. I'm skipping the supporting arguments. Verse 24, he says no. At the end of verse 26, he says no. Faith without works is dead. He says that three times. He says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. All of those no answers are given to answer the question, can faith without works save legally? Forensically. That's what you said in the book. Now, if you want to apologize for what you said in the book, you can. But that's what you said in the book. So all of these passages are given to prove that you're saved legally only if you work and not have faith only. Let's keep proving that. Next chart, John. So here's verse 24. Now remember, Traver is saying we're saved by faith only. And verse 24 is the one place in the Bible that's talking about salvation that uses faith and only in the same verse. It says, you see then how that but works of man is justified not by faith only. And that's the answer to the question in verse 14, can faith without works save legally? When I say legally, that's his word meaning before God. Traver says, verse 14 is saying, can you be saved by faith without works before God? And Traver would agree with me, no. 24 is one of the four places where he answers that. No, you're justified by works and not by faith only. We're talking about legal justification before God here. Now, we're not talking about basis or grounds of your salvation. The death of Christ does that. Not even faith is the basis or grounds of our salvation. It's just a condition we have to meet to be saved by the death of Christ. We're not talking about basis or grounds in James 2:24. All we're talking about, okay, we all know you're saved by the death of Christ. What conditions do you have to meet? If not faith only, it's works plus faith, and that's the whole subject of this debate tonight. This verse contradicts Traver's position this whole night, and it's conclusive. There's no way for Traver to get around this because he's already admitting that the book, Salvation, verse 14, is justification for God. You can't be saved that way by faith without works. And 24 is the answer to that question, so he has to be talking about justification before God. Here's another way to prove that. Traver would be with me on this one. We have some liberals, and this is the way the RSV does it. You remember Isaiah 7:14 just predicts that Jesus would be born of a young woman. And here's our answer to that. No, Matthew 1:22 and 23, this would be Traver's response too, says, quotes that and it says, he's going to be born of a virgin. It fulfills that. So when Matthew 1 says, Jesus is going to be born of a virgin, and that fulfills Isaiah 7:14. Then we know Isaiah 7:14 is not predicting that Jesus would be born of a virgin, because Matthew 1 is saying born of a virgin fulfills that. You agree with that reasoning, right, Trevor? Well, let's use the same reasoning here. Here it says Abraham was justified by works, verse 21. And then it says in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And Trevor says that's talking about legal justification before God. That means verse 21 has to be talking about legal justification before God, because verse 21 is said to fulfill Genesis 15, verse 6. That's the point of verse 23. When Abraham was justified by works, that fulfilled Genesis 15, 6. Would you believe he's talking about legal justification before God? Furthermore, verse 24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified not by faith only. When he says you see then, that means the reason I'm saying that is because of what I said in verse 23.
7 minutes.
Verse 23 is talking about legal justification before God, right, Traver? He says, you see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You see then, meaning verse 23 says that. And then, Jonathan, the next chart. Question about James 2:22b. It says, by works is faith made perfect. If one says they're saved by faith only without works, justified by faith only without works, that's the same as saying, according to James, God, that you're saved by an incomplete, imperfect faith. Because the only way you can have a complete faith is by work. Works, by works was faith made perfect. If you say you're saved by faith without works, faith alone, you're saved. You're saved by an imperfect faith. Number one. Jonathan, number one, the best way to prove we're not justified or saved by faith only is just go through the baptism passages and prove that. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is clear as it can be made. Not only do you have to believe to be saved from your sins, you have to be baptized. 1:66. Now, he says, oh, Mark 16:16 is only descriptive, not prescriptive. But we have these he that statements. Let's look at some he that statements that Jesus makes, Trevor. And let's notice if they're prescriptive or just descriptive. Prescriptive or just, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's prescriptive, isn't it? He's saying if you want to be exalted, you have to humble yourself. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Another he that statement. To have everlasting life, you've got to believe. Am I right, Trevor? John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me hath everlasting life. That's prescriptive, isn't it, Trevor? It means you got to believe on Jesus, on God the Father, to have everlasting life. Prescriptive. John 6:35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Prescriptive. If you want to never hunger, you got to come to him. John 6:35, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you want to never thirst, you've got to come believe on Jesus. John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Prescriptive, not just descriptive. That's his words. If you want to have everlasting life, you have to believe on Jesus. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in him and I in me. Prescriptive. You've got to do this to get the result. John 6:58, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. If you want to live forever, you've got to eat this bread. Prescriptive. Tell me what you have to do, not just describing. John 11:25, he that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, shall he live. Prescriptive. All of Jesus' he that statements are prescriptive, except for one. For some reason, Mark 16:16, when he says, he that believeth in his baptized shall be saved, that's not prescriptive. That's not telling you what you have to do to be saved. That's just descriptive. Why, Traver? Why do you believe every one of these Jesus' he that statements are prescriptive, except one? Why? You believe every single one of them are prescriptive, telling you what you got to do to get the result, except one. Wonder why. Number four. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not faith only. They're already believers. They're already believers, and they're told to repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, he'll take the first part. You got to believe and repent, but he won't take the last part. Be baptized for the remission of sins, and it proves to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, you got to be baptized. And that's clear. If you want to get the forgiveness of sins, you've got to repent and be baptized. Number five. Acts 22:16, Saul, later became known as Paul, believed on the road to Damascus. Trevor will agree with me on that, but 3 days later, he's told Ananias to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Trevor will say you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that somehow he's got Paul being saved at least 3 days before he called upon the name of the Lord, and 3 days before his sins were washed away by the blood of Christ. Trevor says your sins are washed away when you believe. And Ananias told Saul 3 or 4 days after he believed, you need to do something to get your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, and that is to be baptized. Jonathan, number nine. First Peter 3:21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Now, why would God say baptism saves you if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved? Wouldn't that be totally confusing? Now, here we're not saying that baptism saves us in the sense that it is the earning basis or grounds. Okay? When Jesus said to the leper, thy faith hath made thee whole, it's not saying the faith was the basis or the grounds. Jesus healed him. The faith was the condition he had to meet to be healed by Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 is saying. Baptism saves you in the sense you've got to be baptized to be saved by the resurrection. It says through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the verse.
2 minutes.
Why would God keep saying this over and over and over again if He didn't really mean it? Next chart, Jonathan. Number 3. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water baptism is the only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. Number 152, Romans 6, verse 3 says we're baptized into Christ. That means if you're not been baptized, you're not in Christ, you're not in union with Christ, the way Traeger would put it. That means, until you're baptized, you're not in a saved relationship with Christ. Number 6, Galatians 3, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We agree we're children of God by faith. 4 means to introduce the reason. The way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. Number 8. Colossians 2, verse 11, talks about the forgiveness of sins. Gene, I don't have time to go through and read all of this. Verse 13 talks about forgiveness of sins. Verse 12 says buried with him in baptism. Twice it's telling you that you're forgiven of your sins when you're buried in baptism. Number 7. Let's skip that and go to number 10, Jonathan. Number 10. Here's a summary of the verses. Number 10. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Take that verse at face value. If you believe Jesus, you'll believe you've got to be baptized to be saved. If you believe the inspired Peter, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you believe that, you'll say you've got to be baptized to get your sins forgiven by the blood of Christ. If you believe Acts 22:16, you'll say and teach that you've got to be baptized to get your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. If you believe Galatians 3:26 and 27, you'll say that a sinner has to be baptized into Christ to become a child of God by faith. And if you believe 1 Peter 3:21, you'll believe that baptism saves us, that you've got to be baptized to be saved. Remember what the devil told Eve? God had said, if you eat of the tree, you will die. And the devil said, you will not die. God said, baptism saves you. Traver says, no, baptism does not save you. You see the similarity to Traver and the devil. Why would God say baptism is necessary to salvation so many times if He didn't really mean it?